To quote Thomas Jefferson, a well-informed citizenry is the best defense against tyranny. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we discuss the basics of our constitutional republic and how our freedoms are being seized by public officials, both elected and unelected. I'm Mark DeLuzio, a former candidate for the U.S. Congress and a Gold Star father. Join me as we learn together how we can save this unique experiment that we call America. Hi, this is episode 56, Mark DeLuzio here. Episode 56, ignoring the supremacy clause must stop. I want to talk about this because ignoring federal law, which is a supremacy clause, and I'll read it to you in a minute, has been going on, and states have been trying to get around federal law. And basically, let me read what the supremacy clause is. It's in Article 6, Clause 2. The Constitution and laws of the United States shall be made in pursuance thereof. That means that they need to be in accordance with the provisions of the Constitution. In all treaties made, or which shall be made, under the authority of the United States, and remember, we grant the United States government the power, okay? The people do. Authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. So it basically means, look, if there's a law at the federal level and the states have conflicting laws, the federal law rules dominant. It is supreme. It is the supreme law of the land. Now, we see infringements all over the place. We see infringements as to how states write laws. We see infringements to the supremacy clause from judges in terms of how they rule over a particular matter. So I want to just bring a couple of these items to you and have you understand that the supremacy clause is always violated. And as a resident of a state, you have the obligation to push back on your state representatives when you see something like this go wrong. A lot of our rights are lost at the state level, not at the federal level, because we allow our state representatives to write laws that are just, quite frankly, unconstitutional. And in another episode, I talked about the fact that the state, it was in episode 6, nullification, that it is the duty of state representatives to nullify a federal law that is not constitutional. Because remember, the 10th Amendment says, anything not enumerated in the Constitution is left to the states or to the people. And by the way, the 10th Amendment gets violated all the time as well. So I want to just go through a couple examples with you as to how we lose our rights based on what our own states do. And I will contend that most state representatives don't know their job. When they take an oath through the Constitution, they don't even know the first thing about the Constitution. And they just go ahead and pass laws without any concept or any check back to the oath that they took to get into office. Because their oath basically says they have to uphold your rights, your constitutional rights. Okay? So, ignoring the supremacy clause must stop. Let me give you a couple examples. There are a whole host of states around election time that wanted to kick President Trump off the ballot for whatever reason they gave. They said he's a terrorist or he's a convicted felon and all this. Now, I'm going to go through some of the states that we had to deal with here, okay? Colorado, the state Supreme Court disqualified President Trump. It got reversed by the Supreme Court, okay? They cannot disqualify federal candidates. Maine, the Secretary of State ruled that President Trump was disqualified. Okay. Well, that was withdrawn after a Supreme Court ruling. Illinois, Cook County judge ordered Trump off the ballot. You notice that these infringements are coming from the judicial branch of these states and the Secretary of State. which is in the executive branch. So they're coming all over the place in terms of trying to infringe on our rights. Now, remember, judges take the oath, too, to uphold the Constitution. But they're not the final arbitrator. Okay, just because they say so doesn't mean it's so. All right. Arizona, again, the case was dismissed. President Trump remained on the ballot. California, well, who wouldn't expect California to be on this list? Okay. remained on the ballot. Michigan, legal challenges filed in state courts to remove President Trump. Nope, President Trump remained on the ballot. Minnesota, same thing. And Rhode Island, same thing. Alaska, Nevada, New Mexico, New Jersey, Oregon, South Carolina, Texas, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. Most of these states are blue states, not all of them. Okay, you've got Arizona, which is kind of like a swing state, and Texas is definitely a red state. But there's a lot of attempts to just kick them off. Now, why couldn't they do it in this case? Under the U.S. Constitution, the states are to administer elections, but they do not have independent authority to determine who is eligible to hold federal office. And by the way, had this gone through, let's say Colorado kept President Trump off the office, all the votes in Colorado eventually would have been thrown out. And that would have been a big disservice to the people in Colorado or any other state for that matter. And again, how does it affect the Electoral College system? States can choose electors, but they cannot manipulate ballot access for presidential candidates. So you'll probably see this again in 2028, where there's all kinds of maneuvers by states and by the judges in these courts to orchestrate who would run on the ballot and who wouldn't. Happens every time. Now let's take a look at the Second Amendment, which I'll bet many of you out there are very interested in as to how this all went down. The Supreme Court ruled that the Second Amendment protects an individual right to possess a firearm. Okay. Now there was a case way back when, District of Columbia versus Heller. And Heller won. They prevailed in this case that said a municipality like Washington, D.C., or New York City, or Los Angeles, or Chicago, or any other municipality cannot prohibit the carrying of a handgun or a gun that's legal to carry. Okay. There was another one, McDonald versus Chicago, held that the Second Amendment applies to the states through the 14th Amendment. Now, what's the 14th Amendment? I'm not going to read it all to you. I'm going to read the part of the 14th Amendment that does, in fact, apply in this case. It's Section 1 of the 14th Amendment. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Okay, so that's the 14th Amendment that the Supreme Court cited in some of these cases, all right? Now, the Buren test was New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Buren. The Supreme Court established a clear test governing all future Second Amendment cases, and they wanted to follow a historical approach, and this is where Heller came into play. Heller in 2008, and this particular case, 2022. Okay. Under the Bruin test, if the plain text of the Second Amendment covers an individual's conduct, such as, you know, carrying a firearm, the conduct is presumed to be protected, all right? And the government must demonstrate that its firearm regulation is consistent with the nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation, typically from our founding back in the roughly 1791 era to till now, and the ratification of the 14th Amendment. So here is where states are coming up. And by the way, you want to talk about losing your gun rights. These gun rights are being lost at the state level because we allow our state reps to write these draconian laws. I did not move back to Connecticut. I'm in North Carolina now, and I'm from Connecticut originally. Why? The crazy taxes that are there, and also the gun laws. If I had brought my guns back to Connecticut, I would be a felon in their eyes because they wrote all these gun laws that haven't been challenged yet, and hopefully they will. So the Supremacy Clause came into play with these types of laws that were written. Assault weapon ban. Now, a state with assault weapons bans, and I'm not going to get into discussion as what's an assault weapon because I can't define it, okay? It was California, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Illinois, Washington. What did these states have in common? Yes, they're all big-time liberal blue states, okay? So AR-15 type rifles is what they said was a assault weapon. It's pretty interesting. They say that's a military-grade weapon. Well, no, it's not. The military don't use AR-15s. They use M4s, which are automatic guns, which is very similar to the AR-15, okay? So their state laws relative to these are unconstitutional. Magazine capacity limits. States that limit either 10 rounds or 7 rounds, again, here they are, California, New York, New Jersey, Washington, Maryland, Vermont, Colorado, and Hawaii. Again, what do those states have in common? They're all blue liberal states. The conflict. Challengers argue standard capacity magazines are commonly owned and protected. And the Supremacy Clause took action here as well. So several courts have struck down these restrictions after the Buren ruling. Another type of infringement to the Supremacy Clause, a may issue carry permit, which was struck down in 2022. States formally using may issue discretionary systems are New York, New Jersey, Maryland, California, Hawaii, Massachusetts. I sound like a broken record, don't I? They're the same set of states, okay? These may issue, and what this really meant was you have to prove a need to your state in local municipality as to why you need a gun. I remember Don Imus a long time ago. He's now passed away. Big radio personality in New York. He applied for a permit to carry, and they allowed him because he claimed he was a celebrity and he gets threats all the time on the radio and in the mail. And so he had to show that. You should not have to show need. I get asked that question all the time. Hey, Mark, geez, you've got so many guns. How many do you really need? My answer is, well, define need. Okay, number one. And I probably don't have enough, so I probably need more. Thanks for reminding me. I'm going to go to the store this weekend. So anyway, but these may issue, you have to kind of prove why you need a gun. That is direct violation of the Second Amendment. Okay. And all of this is invalidated. Sensitive place expansions. Again, the culprits that went overboard on a wide geographical area, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Hawaii, and California. Same culprits, right? Okay. Some states created overly broad gun-free zones without historical analogies. Okay, so once again, an abuse of your power when they say, well, you can't carry a gun in Central Park. By the way, you need a gun in Central Park with all the rapes and murders that are going on there. So this, you know, this may issue thing is strictly unconstitutional. Waiting period laws. States with waiting periods, guess who they are? California, Hawaii, Illinois, Rhode Island, there may be others too. Again, all liberal states. There's no historical tradition that supports mandatory delays before acquiring a firearm. Okay. So when it comes to the Supremacy Clause, once again, some of these waiting periods have been found unconstitutional. Right. Age-based restrictions. States that restrict purchases until you're 21 and over are Florida, that's surprising, California, Illinois, Washington, Minnesota. With the exception of Florida, all liberal states, okay? The plaintiffs argued 18 to 20-year-olds were part of the militia historically and could possess arms. Plus, they're legal adults when they're 18. They can go into the service, okay? State laws that restrict legal adults conflict with constitutional protections. And I guess the reason, you know, when you're 18, you're an adult, right? And then the last one I have here is homemade firearm restrictions or ghost guns. Banning home-built guns. California, New Jersey, Washington, New York. Okay. Plaintiffs argue home gun building was historically common and protected. And the Supreme Court, I believe, is going to be overturning this. I don't know if this got to the courts yet or not. Okay. But again, now, just because the Supreme Court, for example, let's take Heller, for example, that said, okay, a municipality cannot ban, you cannot be banned from carrying a firearm in that municipality. In this case, it was Washington, D.C. Well, I don't know. If you got caught with a firearm in Washington, D.C. today, or New York City, or L.A., or Chicago, my guess, they'd haul your butt off to jail. So again, continuing to push back on federal law. All right. So these are just a couple of examples. But my message to you is that you at the state level need to push back on your state representatives when this kind of thing happens. All right. And not allow, and this is just not just about the Second Amendment, by the way. It's not just about election law. There's all kinds of other things that the states do that are in conflict with state law. One of them being marijuana laws. There is a federal law on the books that says possession of marijuana is illegal. Now, I think the states, many states have now their own marijuana laws. They do allow ownership of marijuana. They allow stores to sell it. And I think the argument there, and getting back to nullification, is that the federal government does not have jurisdiction to ban marijuana. Okay. And I think the federal government knows that. They also know they would probably lose when they went to court and all that. So I think that one there is, and then look, hey, I'm fine with states pushing back on it. And that doesn't mean I'm a fan of marijuana. All right. But I'm just telling you that that's another example. You've got to be diligent. You've got to push back on your state reps and learn, listen to this podcast, read the Constitution, do some study on your own. My next episode is going to be talking about the fact that we are not educated on our constitutional rights. And when you're not educated on your constitutional rights, it makes it easy for the tyrants. And by the way, I'll talk more about that, but the tyrants want you to be dumbed down. They want to manipulate you. They want to control you. They don't want you to be educated. Okay. It's up to you. It's your duty to be educated. So we'll talk about that in the next episode. Anyway, just wanted to talk about the Supremacy Clause. There's a million other cases and examples. I gave you a couple here. And as you start seeing your state legislators or your local town come up with laws that conflict with the Constitution or a federal law, you got to push back. I mean, by the way, one of the other categories I didn't talk about was the whole sanctuary city. There's all kinds of acts by states and cities that violate Title 8 of the U.S. Code, which is our immigration law. The fact that you're going to hold a sanctuary city and say, hey, come here, and you could live here without going through the right process to become a citizen, is in fact a violation of the law, a violation of the Supremacy Clause. The fact that you're giving in-state tuition to illegals who aren't citizens is a violation of state law, of federal law. Okay? And this is happening all the time. I just wish they would go in and arrest the mayors of these cities for violating the Constitution and their oath to office. We don't do that. Hopefully it's going to happen, because this kind of infringement has to stop. It has to stop. All right? Okay. I'll leave it there. This was episode 56. Ignoring the Supremacy Clause must stop. And it's only going to stop if you get educated and you push back on the appropriate parties that are robbing our freedoms, are robbing our constitutional rights. Okay? See you next time. Thanks. Thanks for listening to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. The Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems. Other episodes can be found on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other podcast platforms. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio. Until next time, may God bless you, may God bless America, and may America bless God.